gospel comes from Mark. In today's reading, Jesus encourages his followers to look forward to the day when he returns in power and glory to end all suffering. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man is coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as a branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves his home, he puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he will find you asleep, and when he comes suddenly, and say to you, and what I say to you, I will say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. When I was in high school, I worked after school babysitting for my aunt. My cousins were 4 and 1 years old. They were young, and so was I. We would usually do fun craft projects, make meals together, play games, build forts, all the fun stuff. But sometimes there were those days after school that I was just exhausted. The fun babysitter time was too much, and instead I resorted to movie marathon babysitter, microwavable meals, and not really cleaning up as we went. It's not that we weren't allowed to do these things, but there were definitely more fruitful ways to spend our time together. And of course, I wouldn't want my aunt to find out that we had been watching movies the whole day. So, when it was time for her to come home, I would rush to make sure that the house looked tidy, turn off the TV, and get the kids to play something together. But once in a while, my aunt would get done early, and to my horror, she would come home and find us on the couch, watching shows, and the house was a wreck. As people, I think we have a tendency to make sure that by the time our proverbial aunt comes home, that we are ready and at our best. Whether it's something at our job, at our home, or with our relationships, we don't like to be caught off guard, unprepared, or unready. Deadlines and schedules help us to feel like we've got everything under control and can manage ourselves and be ready when we have to be. And in today's gospel story, we have Jesus warning the disciples about his return and the same sentiment I had with my aunt coming home. He mentions multiple times that they need to keep awake. Before today's passage, Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple and the persecutions that will take place. Then, as our passage starts, Jesus continues these themes by sharing of the physical occurrences, the darkness and winds, falling stars and shaken heavens. After describing this apocalyptic scene, Jesus offers some helpful words to the disciples. He shares an analogy of a fig tree, that its bloom means summer is near. Now, this analogy is somewhat lost on us right now as our seasons are confused and many plants don't know whether it's time to die or time to bloom. Just take a look at the beautiful tree between the parking lots. In the 2.5 years that we've been here, I have never seen a flower on it. I didn't even know that it did that. But yet at the beginning of November, it decided it was time, as good time as any, to bloom. And so now it is full of beautiful flowers. And anyway, as Jesus talks to his disciples about his return, he states that no one, not himself, not angels, will know when this will happen, only the Father. So please keep this verse in mind next time you hear a date claiming to know that the signs have aligned and the end of the world has been put on the calendar. Whether by some ancient discovered predictions, a televangelist, or a billboard on the side of the road, no one knows the time that this will occur. Not us, not angels, not even Jesus, only the Father. Jesus continues sharing his story about a man going on a journey, leaving his slaves in charge. They do not know when he will return, but they need to do his work in his place. He ends with multiple reminders to keep awake. But what does this mean, to keep awake? It is not that we should be without rest or sleep as we anticipate his return. We have a whole commandment to ensure that we take a day of rest. I think that Jesus' instructions to keep awake are instead calling us to keep engaged, keep present, keep the commandments, keep faith, or maybe simply keep discipling. It is a spiritual awakeness that is active in our lives. These verses come immediately before the plot to kill Jesus begins. He knows that his time with the disciples is coming to an end, and that they would need to know how to carry on without him. They would need guidance, reassurance, and Jesus' own words to get through these times of persecution, destruction, and the end. And just as Jesus' disciples, 2,000 years after this bewaring discourse, we need these words from Jesus too. It is easy to find the signs of the end times. Not just the darkness and winds and falling stars and shaking heavens, but also the persecutions and destructions. Whether it is collectively seen on the news, globally or locally, or in our own lives. When we are destroyed or made to feel that we are an outsider. It can happen in our communities, with our family and friends, or really we can even do it to ourselves, putting aside our identity as a beloved child of God, and instead calling ourselves names like not enough, screw up, unlovable. We can find ourselves stuck in these times, this end time feeling, and in these, the verses that warn about them, well, we can get stuck in those too, feeling trapped by despair and fear of the winds and darkness. And it can be hard to keep discipling through this, as it feels like the world is coming to an end. But just as Jesus reminds us that being a, but just as Jesus' warning is a bigger reminder to us that being a disciple is bigger than that. Being a follower of God is not about being swayed by the winds around us or engulfed by the destruction and darkness in our lives. They will, of course, happen, but they do not own who we are. As Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That word from Jesus is not just a collection of letters or feel-good phrases. That word is the very promise and purpose given to the children of God. And that is something to keep following, as everything else may feel in peril. But how do we keep discipling through all of this? Just like my story about the movie Marathon Days when I babysat my cousins, we make choices about how we spend our time. We can spend our days doing unfruitful things, assuming that we will do discipleship work on Sunday or sometime when we aren't so busy. We can spend our time getting caught up in determining when exactly Jesus will be back and forget what he told us to do in his absence. Or we can just spend our days discipling, as he said. It can be hard when discipleship is waiting for a deadline, mostly because discipleship is not about deadlines. Discipleship is not about something that we can cross off a to-do list, Discipleship is not a destination to reach or a goal to achieve. Discipleship is not a weekly activity or something exclusive to this building. Discipleship is trusting the promises of God that do not pass away. Discipleship is a lifelong journey of growth and discovery, rediscovering God and ourselves continually. Discipleship is something that is experienced and practiced every single day in everything that we do in our lives. Everything. Giving thanks for the food we eat in the homes we live in, asking God for help, peace, comfort, strength, and presence when we realize how limited it is to be a human being and how much hurt, fear, and loneliness we can experience in our brokenness. It is experienced in the ways we treat people. We don't have to explicitly mention God every time we talk to someone, but how does it change when we are in a world where every single person we interact with, we encounter and look for God's presence in them? We look for the image of God on that person. The person who puts your groceries in a bag, the person who cut you off on the highway, the person who you share your greatest moments with, and the one with the most opposite opinions of you. How would things change if we spent our time seeking God's image in them? How would our lives, our communities, and the world change if we continued to do Jesus' work in his absence until whatever time he returns? Maybe we would be too busy feeding the hungry or giving drink to the thirsty to notice the darkness. Maybe we would be too busy welcoming the stranger or clothing the naked to pay attention to those winds. Maybe we would be too busy caring for the sick and visiting the imprisoned to know that the stars were falling. And maybe we would be too busy loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves to even care that the heavens were shaking. I don't know about you, but that is a way to keep discipling that I long for in my own life. And the craziest part of it is that it is offered to all of us. Not even offered, we're invited into it. Or really, more than invited, Jesus pleads for us to continue discipling. Keep awake. God gives us faith to sustain us in all times. And through this, though this discipleship work does not buy us a pass to heaven, as Jesus is the only one with the ability to do that, this faith sustains us as the world crumbles around us, and it keeps us focused and with purpose in these days of waiting. We are called to keep discipling and live lives that does not matter when the Son of Man will return or even that the heavens and earth will pass away, because the Word of God will last forever, and that is something to keep awake for. Amen.